I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad I'm here. At my age, I'm glad to be anywhere. God's good, though. He's going to do some incredible things in your life. Some of you are fighting for your life right now. Some of you are just trying to stay from drowning. Some of you are just trying to just reach out. Oh, God, if I don't make it through this night, I don't know where I'm going to be, what I'm going to be doing. You feel like you're at the end of your tether. Some of you. I'm not saying all of you. But I know that for you, right here tonight, chains are going to break, as our great worship leader just told us. And this is your night. Something good is going to happen to you. Something incredible will happen to you. Because you're in the presence of God. You're not just in a building with a bunch of happy people. You're in the presence of an almighty God. He's invisible, but he's powerful. And he's more powerful than anything you're facing. The God inside you is bigger than any problem that you're facing right now, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the fact that Jesus Christ is in you is a complete guarantee that you've got resurrection life on the inside of you. Even when you die, you're going to come back to life in Jesus' name. Just ask Ian McCormick down here, for goodness sake. Good to see you, Pastor. Wonderful. He's been in our church many times. We've seen thousands of people saved all around the world through this brother. There are some incredible things that have come out of New Zealand, right? Amen. I'm just hopeful that I can be a little piece of that somewhere. Amen. But there are some even greater things, I think, still here in New Zealand. I really believe that. Some of you young people, my Lord, you stay on fire like your Pastor Eleanor. Is that girl on fire or what? Is she? I'm going like, put your hands on my head, sister. You know, like, pray some of that fire in me. I mean, obviously, Pastor Allen is treating her very well, right? What a couple, Pastor Allen and Eleanor Hood. Please. Tell them you love them. They're amazing. Just amazing. I know some of the things. I caught up on the history of the past few years, decade or two decades, that they've been running here. And it's colorful. And not every color's bright yellow. Some of that murky gray. But look at him. Sweet-spirited. He's saying, I still love Jesus. I'm praising God. And I know exactly what it is. He's been called by God. If you haven't been called by God and you want to be a pastor right now, forget the idea. Just drop it. I have people who come to me and say, oh, I believe God's called me to be an apostle. I say, get on your knees and beg God to take that off you right now. What an idiotic thought that would be. Enjoy life, for goodness sake. Amen. Have an abundant time. You know, the power of the Holy Spirit is in this place. And this is going to be one of the most powerful, advancing moments of this church. I realize we've got some visitors here, and you're more than welcome. But I'm just talking to this local church right now. And I love the local church with all my heart. I'd die for the local church. Probably will one day. But the fact is, the local church is the hope of the world. There's no other greater hope for the world than that body of believers who are joined together. And like once a year like this, you come together and get revived, united, and refreshed, empowered. And the Holy Spirit is definitely going to actually bring that to pass tonight. Now, this pastor here, I think you are a pastor, are you not? With your glasses on. When I turned around and I looked at you, sir, I see steps ahead of you. There are about three big decisions that you're going to be making in the next few weeks. And one of them is difficult, and it's going to be confronting for you. But let me tell you this, it's got blessing in it. It's going to be a door that opens up for you into financial blessing. It is going to be a conversation you have to have with a person that may be difficult to have that conversation with. But fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord, and I am going to help you to break through that door, and blessing is on its way. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy blessing into your world by the power of the Holy Ghost and fire. In the name of Jesus. You know, and while I'm standing here, and this is moving pretty quick. I know I'm not even gotten over my introductions yet, and I'm starting to get words of knowledge and things, which is a bit disturbing. Amen. But hopefully we'll get to preach sometime tonight. There is a person here who has kidney problems. I want to pray for you right now. The power of God is going to help you with those kidney pains in the small of your back. And it's been a medical condition you've had for some time. Who is that? Would you raise your hand right now? I know that God is going to help you and bring healing to you. Amen. Just come out here. Come out here. I want you to come real quick. Come strong wherever you are. Yeah, my dear, look at you. God cares about you. Amen. You got a problem with your arm as well. We get an overhaul in Jesus' name. Come up on the steps. Come up on the steps. Yeah, God is going to touch your kidneys, and he might help you with your arm. I've got a word of knowledge about your arm, but, you know, I'll just pray for the kidneys. Is that all right? There's another person with this. Who else is that? Who is the other person? And you're thinking, oh, there must be that person, but you've got a problem with filtering out fluids in your body, and I know that God is going to touch you. Just raise your hand. The power of God is going to meet with you wherever you are. Oh, you're there. Come. I didn't see you. I'm sorry. Come, quick, strong, in Jesus' name. I got to preach, and so I've only got like 13 minutes to do it in tonight. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. The Lord God is going to touch you. He's going to empower you. Had this for a while, like as a child. No, from when? 5 years, like I said, from a child. You're like a teenager now, right? Yeah. Lift your hand, sister. Father, touch this girl. Healing comes into her kidneys right now. Power pours into her back. Lord Jesus, she's going to be just fine. As the healing virtue of the Son of God pours into this meeting, touch my dear sister here, Lord, with healing in her kidneys. God, here tonight, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Beautiful. There it is. It's that simple. How are you? You're a great Christian. Yeah, you walk with God for a long time, right? He knows you. Since 1980. That's amazing. Same. Yeah. No, not when I was born. That's when I met. That's when I went to Sydney and started a church there. Yeah, so, you know, I'd love to chat and hang out and have a cup of tea, but we got to get on with the meeting. Yeah, amen. So let's do that. God bless you. Give these guys a big hand. God is here in this house. What a great title for a conference. By faith, I see a miracle. Now, I know that was all a little bit of a sort of like, but we got there. You have such a good voice. And like, she's got authority too, huh? You're married? You are married, right? Yeah, with that kind of authority, I'm praying for your husband. Amen. You know, it's like, wow. You people, you're going to believe God? I mean, he's going, yes, dear. Amen. So wonderful. Well, thank you, guys. That was a short little stint, I know. But I won't call you back again for at least 13 minutes. Okay. So don't go out there and start having cigarettes or anything like that. All right. Thank you, Jesus. So good to see you. You may be seated. I know we haven't met each other, a lot of us. And so I am going to actually share a message tonight that it's like my message just tell you who I am and what my life theme is and what I'm really all about. So we have a number of wonderful C3 pastors here tonight. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to find them all. I had them on the list here, but God bless you all anyway. Amen. It is just wonderful. Tommy, you're in this town, aren't you? You're right here in this town. Yeah, I better not start saying names or I'll miss people out. And you know how sensitive and fragile pastors are. Not at all. The only reason they're in the job is because they're tough enough for it. Thank you, Jesus. Well, yes, I am a Kiwi. I was born on this island. Down south a little. And we used to come up here and surf.
If it was good at the Mount, then we'd come up here. If it was good at Piha, we'd go there. And if it was good at Ning Nong Bay, aptly named, down in Wellington, we'd just get in that Chrysler that had holes in the floorboards and pack it all night to get down there. And then I went to university, and I was going to be an artist. and so I went to the School of Fine Arts at Ilam in Canterbury University. But I had a deep search, sort of hunger for truth. It was in the hippie days, you know, like the Beatles were all learning under the Maharishi. So we thought we'd do something similar in India. And tried to go off to India and search. So I dropped out of art school, which is quite an accomplishment because it's pretty hard to get, you know, to go much further down. But anyway, I managed, and I got to Australia, and somebody gave me a surefire way to win a lot of money gambling on the dogs. I'm a 17-year-old, you know, 18-year-old guy with a scatterbrain trying to make quick money to get to India and study under a Maharishi. And I was reading all the books and all that. So he gave me this guaranteed way to make all your money double in one night. Well, I lost everything, of course. And had to hitchhike back to New Zealand, which is hard across the ocean, you know. But anyway, we got back here and started messing around with a bunch of weird spiritual things on the wrong side of the force. And the whole house got filled with this dark atmosphere. And my friend left. He came up to Auckland to work because he couldn't sleep at night because of the horror dreams he was having. And so we stayed there, but I had one of those terrible dreams one night, and I reached out to a spiritualist friend, and I said, look, I'm having trouble with demons. Do you know what to do? And she says, oh, yeah, go down to the spiritualist crowd. We'll chant and pass roses and do things like that. And I said, oh, that's good. Yeah, I'll go. But her mother had been born again a couple of weeks before, happily. And she said, don't send him there. Send him down to this little Assembly of God church in Sydenham, where there was about maybe, I don't know, 40 people who were quite old because the church had come out of a Smith Wigglesworth sort of move, and all the converts were still there. And so the youth leader was 120 years old. It was kind of interesting. So, but we walked in, and I've got long hair and black coat, and my wife is like that, like back on, we look pretty much the same. Except front on, I had a beard, and she didn't. And I'm still praising the Lord for that. And but, you know, the woman who had invited us along, she met us at the door and made us sit down. And then he's preaching like a windmill. And I thought, wow, I've never seen anything like this. And when I went in there, I said to Chris, there's such good vibes in here, babe. You know, like we were hippies. We didn't say it like that. Hippies didn't talk like that. Like, wow. Such good vibes in here, babe. And, you know, so you remember that, Ian? Yeah. wow. And so we walk in, and then the woman behind me, she says, you put your hand up now, because he said, everybody wants to get saved, put your hand up. So I said, oh, really? Okay. So, and then he said, everybody put their hand up, come forward. She tapped on the shoulder, she said, so we'll go forward now. I thought it was like a Catholic mass, you know, where everybody goes forward and you all get the, you know, piece of bread on your tongue. Because we'd done that once. I'd done that once at midnight when I was a bit stoned just for the fun, you know, and anyway, I went forward, and like there weren't too many other people out there. It was just us. Whoa. So they prayed, and I didn't feel much, but the pastor's wife was really into deliverance. It was Assembly of God deliverance days, and everything had a demon. And so I was definitely one of those. And so come out with us. And I went out the back, and they sat me down in the middle of the room, and all the elders came out. Now, when I say elders, I'm talking about 300-year-old people, like double-breasted suits and from the war. And I'm not talking the First World War. I'm talking the Boer War, you know, like way, way back. And so they're they come in and they say, well, we're going to pray for you. And the pastor, he said, look, he sidled up beside me and said, look, you might feel something happen and whatever, you know, so just go with it. I said, oh, yeah, whatever. And they said, let's pray. So the only prayer I knew was, Our Father, who art in it. And I started to do that, but they just put hands all over my head. And whoa, this is interesting. But then I felt this black, like, thing, whatever, come up. And then went, away from me. And I thought, because I was just yelling and screaming at this thing, whatever it was, and I'm crying. I go, oh God, thank you, Jesus. And I honestly didn't know who Jesus was. I did not even recognize that he and God were relatives. But I'm going, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And then it was like my tongue got broken. I was, thank you, God. I couldn't say Jesus. Like, I couldn't say, and then I'm just, I heard them sort of speaking in this other language in there. And so I just started going with it too. Shiki makata kurubatai. And they're all going, whoa! So they're doing this kind of Hebrew dance. Around the room. Because there was this terrible song then she'll live. Oh, you'll remember that. And they were singing that. It's like, and I went out of there and I said, whoa, Chrissy, because my wife, my girlfriend, who's now my wife, I said, I got to tell her, I'm stoned. And I went home yelling out, praise the Lord to everybody on the way home. And so we just started a big commune for people that we dragged off the streets. And I was at the time working on the rubbish carts, collecting rubbish at 4 o'clock in the morning so I could try and be an artist in the afternoon, but it never really worked out quite like that. But then I read a scripture that said, touch not the unclean thing. So I knew I had to leave the rubbish carts. And I was like, woo, yeah, okay. So we went around preaching on the streets, and suddenly I'm in the newspapers and the news shows on us. Jesus Revolution hits New Zealand, and that was one of the more favorable news items I've had. Thank you, Jesus. And, you know, but suddenly we had a revival. We saw about 1,200 people come to Christ over the next year. And that was astonishing. And I'd love to tell you story after story of all those things, but I really want to get onto this message. So I just thought I'd let you know where I've come from. You were all a lot, obviously, more holy people than I was. And I'm just hopefully you can still hear maybe some of the things I've got to say tonight, because I do believe God has got a purpose for us all, no matter where you come from. And dear God, I wish I'd had a beginning like Paul the Apostle, because he was such an intellectual, smart guy, so righteous, didn't know one thing against himself in his conscience. I mean, what kind of character is that? That's amazing. And he changed the world, obviously, but some of us come from, you know, a broken background, and we're still getting fixed up. I know I am, and still find myself, you know, wrestling with truth and appropriating it into my world and trying to get there. And so I just feel like if we can journey together with these big signs on us called under construction, and on our back, L, I'm still learning, then we can accommodate for each other's mishaps and extend a lot of grace around the church, because boy, there are a lot of broken up people today not knowing what's going on. I want to, the theme that you've chosen is such a good theme for this conference, and faith. So I want to start with this, 2 Corinthians 4:13, and it says there, we have the same spirit. We have the same spirit of faith. So faith is not it's not a mental assent. It's not a philosophy. It's not a set of beliefs. It's a spirit. It's a spirit that's meant to live in believers. And it's, when he says the same spirit, he's referring to David, because that's the context of the scripture. He's referring to King David, the guy who slew a giant. And he's mostly referring to that moment when David took out Goliath. And David ran to that giant. He didn't go, let me take him on. And he go, whoa, what was I thinking? How am I going to do this? He just ran. And that's a spirit. And we have more problems through our weakness than through our strength. Because we avoid the problems that are bigger than we are. And we just think, I don't want to make that phone call. I don't want to meet that person. And our emotional robustness and our emotional resilience is lowering because we're using texts rather than face-to-face. And we're giving kids prizes for everything, and they lost. You don't get, I mean, you got to compete and win. And if we don't learn how to lose and still keep going, we will throw our arms up in despair and think we need medication. But actually, emotional resilience and robustness has to come into our lives. And it's one of the greatest purposes of trials, because the trial of faith is going to make you stronger. So even though it's a disaster, it's a horrible thing you're going through right now in your world, in some area, with your kids. I mean, they just go crazy at age 13. I know. In fact, my wife and I, we decided not to have kids. They're not taking it that well. Well, the reason we were having trouble with them is that, you know, I go to my psychiatrist and I said, is it weird that I'm hearing voices? And he said, you don't have a psychiatrist. So that's a problem too, you know, when parents and the kids are a little messed up. But we face a lot of trials, a lot of difficulties that we think are impossible. And the problem with the problem is not the problem, it's our attitude towards the problem. So when the problem comes uninvited, it just switches off your faith and it switches on fear. You don't have to do anything. It just does it automatically. However, for you to activate what God has put inside of you, you need to be intentional. And you've got to actually switch on faith. And that is the beautiful thing about believing. You can switch it on. And you can do it right here tonight. And that is the beginning of the breakthrough. When you say, you know, I've had that switch off for so long, it's almost rusted in the negative position. But tonight I'm just going to say, I'm going to believe again. I'm going to stop being angry with God for not listening to my prayers. I'm going to let my hope rise, even though it's emotionally painful. For some people to let their hope rise again because they've been wounded, they've been disappointed, they've been hurt. The Hebrews, when Moses came to them and he said, listen, you're going to get set free. They said, wow, that's so good. They said, how do you know? He said, well, I've been talking to a bush. I said, well, oh, you know, that's kind of cool. And what happened? He said, well, the bush talked back. Moses, you all right? He said, no, the bush gave me a couple of tricks. Okay, so watch this. Leper, right? Gone. They said, whoa, that is clever. And he said, snake, wriggly stick, non-wriggly stick. They said, oh, that'll set us free for sure. Let's go. And so they all go down to the king of Egypt. They say, hey, come, let us go. And he said, why would I let you go? He says, look, wriggly stick. He laughs at him. He said, you think I'd let 3 million laborers go for that? We can do that stuff. Ain't going to happen. So it gets twice as hard and twice as tough, and they got to produce twice as much. They're disappointed. It said they could not hear Moses for grief of spirit. They couldn't hear anymore. They couldn't hear a positive message. They hated a person like me coming up and saying, something good is going to happen to you. They go like, oh, yeah, right, I heard that one before. And they've got that. Or they got the, oh, whatever, kind of vibe. But you're killing your spirit if you hold on to that. Somewhere down the line, you just got to turn it back on. I'm not talking about turning trust on. I'm talking about turning faith on. Now, trust is good to have, but trust needs proven. You got to prove trust. I will not give my trust to a person in an unproven state, because not even Jesus did that. The Bible doesn't say trust everybody. I've been pastoring for 50 years, people. I've seen, you know, business people in the church and all kinds of things when they just trusted each other because you're Christians. And it's wounding. It's hurting. If I've ever done any kind of deals, I always get it all legally stitched up and everything, just make sure we all clearly understand. But having faith is a different thing. Having faith, I believe God. I believe that God is going to do something. And as soon as I believe that God is going to do something, I see a way to do it. That's such good preaching. No, truly. As soon as you believe, you'll see how to do it. As soon as David thought, I can take that brute, he knew exactly how he would do it. The others tried to put armor on him and tell him, this is how you're going to do it. He said, ain't going to work that way. I know exactly how I'm going to do this. But if he had had unbelief, he thought, oh, I'll never be able to take that job. He would never have seen the way to do it. The strategy follows the faith. And that's called believing before you see. Not seeing before you believe. And so once we just start to believe, somehow, some way, this marriage is going to work. Somehow, some way, my kid's going to get healed. Somehow, some way, this business is going to turn around. Somehow, some way, we're going to get a miracle. I'm going to get a breakthrough in my own wounds, in my own heart, in my own spirit. And you get a spirit of faith. It's an attitude. All right. I want to give you three directions of faith on the next one. The first one is faith in God, which is pretty simple. You go like, I believe God. God's big. God can do stuff. God's powerful. Believing it's the will of God might be another matter. And we'll talk about that tomorrow in the business meeting. What is the will of God about you doing well in life? And he's right into it. But having faith in God, I do. I have faith in God. And that most of us would be in that category. The second one is a little more challenging. Faith in you. Because most Christians would think it's a more pious attitude to say, oh, it's not me. It's only going to be God. But actually, God wants you to realize that you are a new creation and that nothing is impossible to you. There's got to come a point where you actually activate and grow up into Christ so that you're walking with him. Now, you will notice, if you've been a Christian for quite a while, that when you first met the Lord, he did everything for you. Just there, you know, like, God, bang, it happened. God, you know, boo, it happened. But a year later, God, would you do this? Nothing much happens. 10 years down the lane, it's like he's gone to sleep. And he does go to sleep. And we're in the boat, and the boat is sinking. And if we haven't learned to activate and become who we are meant to be, the sons of God, the whole creation groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. If we haven't become that, we're running around still trying to get the intercessors to wake up Jesus. Jesus, wake up, wake up, wake up. He's asleep. If we do not do that, if we refuse that growth in our faith, we are going to find that we will accuse God of not caring. Master, do you not care? We're perishing. Of course he cares. But he has gone to sleep so that you'll wake up. So that we will awaken to who we are and learn how that we can declare a thing and that we can prophesy a thing and pray a thing and that we have got power in our lives. And there is times to cry out to God and to plead with God, but there are times when you need to prophesy to that valley of dry bones, when you need to speak to that bank account. And you may think it is a weird thing to speak to inanimate objects, but we'll get to that soon. But you will find that as you begin to get a spirit of faith in you, it's not just about having faith in God, it's about having faith that I can do this. And that's what Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not in my strength. But I'm the one who's going to make it actually happen. The third one is faith in others. Love believes. I'm a big believer in building teams. We have so many teams all around the world. We're starting like 3 churches a week. And to do that, we need a lot of new leaders, teams, worship directors, et cetera, et cetera. And some of them are, some of the most beautiful churches we have are what we would call people who have adopted in, who have become grafted in, become part of the crew, which is you guys here, and couldn't be happier that with such high quality people, you've upclassed us. Thank you for that. We're Australians, but man, to get some class in New Zealand, All Black factor going on. I mean, please, yeah. It's got to help us all. So, I just said, I leaned across to your pastor here tonight, and I said, James, does Eleanor speak at women's conferences? He says, yeah, she does. Well, we're going to get her working. Amen. I want another 1,000 Eleanors in Jesus' name. Amen. I want another 1,000 Ellen Hood. Because he can do all what he's been through and come from the high quality stock of the James clan. For goodness sake, still sitting on the front row, still worshiping. Legend in New Zealand. Faith in others. Okay, love believes in other people. Hatred doesn't. So when you believe in other people, it means you greet people with a kiss. That's what the Bible says. Now, you don't have to do an actual kiss, but don't greet people with a slap. And build people up. Say, man, you look good. Man, you're doing great. You might be the sunshine they needed that particular day. I know this, that I might meet people once in my lifetime, and I want it to be positive for them. And if I can tell them the meaning of their life, just what they did for me, if I said, man, you made, walking off a plane, I'll say to the hostess, you did such a good job today, thank you. I don't see too many other people doing that. And when you are at an airline counter and you're about to get it, one of the best things that can happen is to have an angry customer in front of you. And they're yelling, is it my plane, I fly, do you give them the wrong? And the girl's just, no. Oh. I go, hi, man, what a great job you're doing. That was a bit tough, wasn't it? Oh, hope you have a better day today, you know. You just talk, just be loving. She says, oh, I got a little upgrade here for you. Attitude determines altitude, people. Amen. If you upgrade your attitude, you'll always upgrade your whole life. No doubt about it. Believe in other people. Believe in them. Look, even when it's a little difficult, like you're thinking my husband's a slob. Don't tell him that. Say you wonderful, wonderful person. You go like, what? What's happened to you? Oh, I've been down at the Believe Conference, yeah. But you might say to me, but what if he is a slob? Well, become a sanctified liar. Just speak those things that are not as though they were. We believe in other people to be more than what they are. And you'll find people rise to what you believe in them. Don't give people an image to live down to. Give them an image to live up to. People become what we believe them to be. All right. So now in the last, 8 minutes. Praise Jesus. I thought I was way over my time. 7 steps of faith. Okay, these are some of my paintings in the background. Just letting you know that I use them because I don't know why. Thought you might like them. And we have a lot of books out there we've written that we use in our online college, which we have about 9,000 students in at present, or have had over the years. And we have our C3 college also in Sydney, where a lot of people have emerged from that and doing some pretty good things around the world. I think, like, Mitch, were you in that college? That's why you're such a classy guy. He is one of the best preachers we've got in our church. So yeah, he runs one of our 11 locations in Sydney. And he and his wife have just had a baby, and she let him come. So thanks for being here, Mitch. Number one, desire it. Okay, and I'm going to go quick. There's about 1 minute per point, which is an impossibility, but we'll give it a go. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, this is where so many people, they're a bit messed up about this because they think that if they want it, then God certainly isn't going to want them to have it because that's their view of God. I want to go to London and have a holiday. God probably wants me to go to the Amazon and be a missionary to the giant pygmies. And it's like, if they get confused. They say, God, I like the yellow one, but there's a blue one. Which one do you want me to have? He doesn't care. What do you want? It's his desire to fulfill your desire. It's his delight. I delight to give you the desires of your heart. You're of great value to God. Enormous value. And he would love to give you special dreams that you've had in your heart. I've seen this happen so many times with my wife. She's so much better at it than me. She describes the house she wants to the little white Japanese stones she wants out the front. I go, what are you asking that for? We can go buy some once. She said, I just like to. We go in the house, we're looking at little white Japanese stones out the front. I go, God, why don't you love me like that? You know, it's like, it is an astonishing thing that God will give you the desires of your heart. And you do not, I can't go on without telling this story because you're not going to understand the goodness of God until you see this happen. And okay, so I've, like I said, got three kids. In the morning, they come down for breakfast when we're raising them. Never did I ever hear one of them go, oh, my God, there's cornflakes. You didn't supply me with cornflakes, did you, Dad? Oh, milk? I can't believe it. Last night, there was a bed in my bedroom. I had some pajamas. And this morning, I wake up, I got school clothes. You guys are amazing. I just can't understand why you love me so much. I never got that. They come down. That's it. My God shall supply all your needs. Yeah, he does. That's your needs. Okay, he's a responsible father. He'll do it. Okay, but so one day I'm walking down the street with my boy Joe, who's a surfer at 13 years of age. We're walking down, and there's a surfboard shop. And he goes over there, and there's a surfboard. He sees the thing. He's like a sucker on the window. There's drool coming down the window. And I look around at the price. I go, pull him off that thing, and I'm walking home. But I duck down a little later on. The surf shop owner's in our church, and I do a little deal. So I get it. And I walk home, and I go knock on his door. He's going, I say, hey, Joe, how are you? I say, so I'm the boy. He said, you're the man. Now I'm good. He actually slept with that board that night in his bed. But goodness is revealed when you're given something you don't need. It's a desire of your heart. And God's goodness wants to be shown towards you. To give you things you don't need. Don't be so tight about God that he's like Mr. God Economy. Otherwise, he would have just given you potatoes to eat and black and white vision. I mean, what a waste of supernatural power to give you color vision and to make giraffes. Why would you make giraffes? You ever had a giraffe burger? They can't carry anything. Just slides right off the back. You can't race on them. You got to use them on the farm. What a waste. What a waste of power, God. What are you doing? Why are you walking on water? You could be using that to heal sick people. What's walking on water got to do with saving the world or anything? Nothing. It's just fun. Can I do it? Can I do it, Jesus? Can I do it? Not on your life. As if we'd waste 1 ounce of supernatural power just so you could have a bit of fun. You can't give me any other reason why you wanted to walk on water. It just looked like a whole lot of fun. look like the Christian life. Jesus said, come. Come on over here. He steps out, and we've got a story that lasts two millennia about stepping out in faith. Desire it. I told you I couldn't do it. Amen. I'm up to my second point. We'll probably just complete this message at a different time. Is that all right? Yeah, I don't want to take more time than I meant to have. I'm going to go to decide it. Decide it. James 1, 6 to 7. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. And it goes on to say, being a double-minded person, unstable in all his ways. So, don't think you're going to get anything from God if you're not going to switch that faith on. Because then you'll just go moaning and groaning. Now, Isaiah 64, verse 5 says that God meets with him who rejoices. So, that's a person who is in faith. Because they're rejoicing today like they've got what they're believing for tomorrow. So I'm gonna actually probably go over about 2 minutes over time. Is that all right? Can you cope with that? It'll be painless. So how many of you do have children here? Okay, that's a decent amount. Kids are great. Do you have children? Great. One. Okay. So kids are great until they become two. And they get that nasal twang. I know one thing I'm the man. I don't like broccoli. I don't want to go to the I want ice cream. Why is he not? Okay. Right? But like, you're Tauranga people, right? You've got the hoods as your pastors. You're intelligent people. You know what to do. So you have another one. Now you've got two of these things. You got two of these things, and they're sitting in the back seat of the car. One's in that seat, one's in that seat. And they're punching each other. They're pulling my hair, you're pulling my hair. Don't look out my window. That's my window. Yeah. They're going to punch you in the head. And screaming like that, right? But Tauranga people, some from the Mount, and some even travel from Auckland. Intelligentsia, you know what to do. You got another one now. You got this tiny little thing sitting in the middle, and you go through drive-through McDonald's. You come out of there. You should have gone through the car wash. It would have been less painful. You got French fries out of the ears, up the nose. Milkshakes on their head. They're all screaming. I don't like it. I don't like it. Here's God sitting in the front seat. 7.5 billion people whining, groaning in the back seat. I don't like you. I'm going to shoot you, bomb you. I'm in the country. I'm going to push you away. It is no wonder he says, I will meet with him who rejoices. I'll turn up at a church that's got faith. I will turn up at a place where people are believing. And they've got a faith inside of them that can see a bigger future than the one they've got right now. And so when you decide it, you're asking in faith. You're asking with a smile in your mind, not just one on your face. And saying, my God is going to do this for me. My God will get me through this for me. Somehow, some way. And like I said at the start of the meeting, some of you feel like you're fighting for your life right now. You're finding depression and discouragement and things pushing you down. And I tell you, I've been there myself so many times, I couldn't count it. I mean, every week I got some deal. You try looking after 600 pastors, for goodness sake. I mean, there are deals, there are things, and then there's issues within your own world and families. And all of us have got the opportunity to become depressed, negative, and just say, and whine at God and say, God, why don't you do something? Or else we could switch our believing machine on. Because it's in that atmosphere that the power of God travels. His power travels in an atmosphere of faith, not one of unbelief. So if I'm walking around saying, oh, God never does anything for me, why does he bless all these other people? And still nothing more is going to happen. And yet here's this guy who's having a great life and things keep happening for them. And they're saying, God is so good. God is going to do things greater than I could even imagine. Even if it doesn't feel like that is happening right now, as you hold your faith fast and you decide, I'm going to live in that zone, you're going to live where God lives. I'm so looking forward to finishing this message tomorrow night. And I will. I promise. Amen. Make sure you have some friends here, because God is going to touch lives such a powerful way. I'm going to spend more time laying hands on people and praying for people tomorrow night. I just wanted to get to know you and let you get to know me a little, and hopefully that we could get to like each other, you know, and, well, I like you, but, you know, I mean. But before I close, I do want to ask one question. There could be some of you here tonight, and you've never opened your heart and said, Jesus, come into my life. This is a really good moment to do that. So if you've never done that, in a couple of moments, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. We're going to close our eyes. And I'd like you to raise your hand. If you did that once, but you've drifted, for whatever reason, you may not even know why, but you're back here tonight, and it's time to come back. I want you to come back to him. So I want you also to raise your hand when I ask. And then just sometimes people go to church, but they're not sure if they're going to heaven. Like, they hope they are. They think they are, but they couldn't say I'm absolutely certain. So that's if you've never prayed this prayer, you're coming back, or you're not sure you're going to heaven, I want you to raise your hand. Look, can I ask everybody to close your eyes right across the hall? If that's you, wherever you are right now, you've never prayed that prayer and you want to pray it tonight, you're coming back to God, or you're not sure you're going to heaven, right now, please, my friend, wherever you are, put your hand in the air. Say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Who else is there? Raise it high. Say, that's me. Don't be afraid. You're amongst friends. Thank you. Thank you. Who else is there? There's about five people who've raised their hands so far. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Who else is there? Just raise your hand. Say, that's me. It's a simple thing. I'm going to pray for you. It's not going to be long. 8. If there's one more person, please raise it high. If you're a friend, you came as a visitor, as a guest, you said, oh, I didn't expect this. But, you know, maybe this was something that God was designing. You might think it was the universe. That's okay right now. You know, you're thinking, wow, what's happening? But it's God. He's got you in this place. So I'm going to just take another 5 seconds, and then I'm going to pray for people. So if there's one more hand, please, could you raise it? Raise it high. Say, Pastor, pray for me tonight. I want to know Jesus. I want to have the Son of God in my life. I want to be following him. Amen. Okay, guys, can I ask you all to look this way? Can I ask you to look this way? I'm going to do something that, you know, we don't always do, but we're in a conference time, and even though it's a little extra time, I'm going to ask those of you who raised your hands to do something courageous. We're all going to stand up, and when we stand up, I want you just to come right down the front. I want to shake your hand and pray for you. So let's all stand and welcome these guys as they come right now. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come. Give them a big hand as they come right now. Hi. I'm so proud of you. So wonderful. Just stand here. Stand here. Stand here. You're right. Yeah. Hey, man. What's your name?
Daniel.
So good to meet you. Hi. Hi. So nice to meet you. Yeah. Come. Come. Yeah. Hi. Good to meet you. What's your name?
John.
Hi. What's your name?
Sam.
I'm so glad to meet you, Sam. Yeah. Come. Come. If there are other people coming, hi. This is your friend. Look, just keep clapping, because I think there's another couple people who could come. Now is the time for salvation. You must be born again. The Bible says that. Yeah, come, 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 come. Now is the day of salvation. Who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you call, you'll be saved. You run to him for refuge, he will not refuse you.